Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, and he healed their sick. Amen. When Jesus heard this, that is, the account of John the Baptist being beheaded by Herod, the last of the Old Testament prophets pointing the people to God's Messiah, was now dead. And so Jesus withdraws to a desolate place by himself. When the crowds hear of it, they traveled by foot from the towns to see the Lord. And when God sees the people, he doesn't say, "Leave me alone." But the text says he has compassion on them. He teaches them things about God's kingdom, and he gives them food for their bodies. Friends, your God is a giver. He gives you gifts abundantly. It's his specialty. The clothes on your back, the cars you drive, the very roof over your heads, the food that you eat, these provisions come from your God. And he's happy to give them to you. He's happy to give them to you. Not a day goes by when your Lord isn't aware of what you need physically. Your needs are always before them. For you parents, he knows that you have mouths to feed and the children he has graciously given you. Worried about having a large family? God can provide for a large family just as easily as he can provide for a smaller one. God knows what a mortgage is. He knows the difference between a 15 and 30 year loan. God realizes you need transportation to get from A to B. God even knows about inflation, that things cost a lot, and prices go up and up, and along with that, he knows your paycheck. He knows what you take home every week. He knows what you need. God sees it when a nation plunges itself into debt without contemplating the cost of getting out of it. God knows the current tax rate, and he still commands us to pay our taxes. These needs, and many, many others like them, God always, always, always has before him. And so, Christian, never, never do you need to go to bed at night wondering to yourself, does God really see the mess I'm in? Is God aware of my needs? The answer is absolutely yes, he is aware of them. In Matthew's gospel, our compassionate giving Lord Jesus Christ says this, "Not one sparrow falls to the ground apart from your Father. Even the hairs on your head are numbered. And you are of more value than many sparrows." God knows your needs, and he is the giver of gifts. And according to his good and gracious will, he will provide for you in a way that always reflects the unfading love and compassion he has for his people. For those who love God, all things work together for good. Romans 8:28. And so when you find yourself in a time of need, when you think your physical body is not being sustained in a way that you wish, friends, your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ looks upon you. He has compassion on you. And he speaks his eternal word to you, a word that will never pass away. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things will be added to you. That promise doesn't dim whenever the going gets rough. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Know your Savior. Rest in his promise. The promise of sins forgiven, everlasting life and salvation. Let that promise, let that gift ease your troubled soul. Know you belong to your God who knows you by name, and he promises to uphold the righteous no matter what the circumstance. And when I say God will provide for you, that means even at death. The promise to provide for you physically does not only pertain to this life, but we must also remember and echo the words of Job, who says, "In my flesh I will see God." The resurrection of the body, when the physical puts on the incorruptible and imperishable, that gift is freely yours by way of Christ and his death, by his resurrection. The baptized share in those gifts. The baptized are promised to have a share in Christ's death and his glorious resurrection. As he lives, you live. That's the promise. And these promises, they're very comforting. God is always giving. God is always providing, even in ways that you were unaware of. Scripture speaks to this. But when we hear it, when we read it, there is still that fear in the back of our minds that, well, just maybe God isn't going to come through for me this time. Or if I give too much away, maybe suddenly God will stop providing for me and I'll have nothing. Or there is the fear that this situation is so dire, so grave, maybe even God himself can't help me out. We segue into the gospel lesson. 5,000 people. Correction. 5,000 men plus women and children. So over 5,000 people have come by foot to see the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is no morning church service with a hot meal waiting for us at noon. And we are thankful for that gift. It's at the end of the day. They're tired. The disciples are tired. And so they command Jesus, they command God to release the crowds. Send them away. Let them buy food for themselves. So much for tending to those in need. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ knows better. He knows better. And he says this, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." Now, we can imagine what is going through the disciples' minds at this point. Christ tells them to feed the people, over 5,000 people. And the disciples logically point out, "Jesus, we only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish." Over 5,000 people, 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. It doesn't compute. It doesn't work out. There isn't enough food. The disciples realize this. They don't have the resources, even if they did want to help these people in a desolate place, as they should have. They have nowhere close to the amount of food they need. And they respond in a very practical, a very logical, a very sinful way. Send them away. Let them take care of themselves. But what we see in the disciples, a lack of trust, a lack of faith, a lack of perception and understanding of who was standing before them. For man, yes, this was an impossible situation. Not for your God. They didn't recognize that before them was the very God who spoke through Isaiah. "Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Incline your ear to me and come to me here, that your soul may live." Our Lord Jesus Christ, true God, true man, he goes on to feed these people. He feeds them abundantly, and the text says they were all satisfied, but it doesn't stop there, does it? There were leftovers. Not only were the people fed, not only were they full, but there were 12 baskets of leftovers, one for each disciple, from which they could share with their Lord Jesus. They could give to their Lord Jesus out of the abundance that God himself had given them. He feeds his people. The giver of gifts takes care of his people, and there was even food to spare. Oh, you of little faith, why do you doubt? Do not doubt the Lord's goodness. Do not doubt the Lord's promise to give and provide for you. Yes, we live in a time that until Jesus comes again, we will have physical needs. Jesus will tell us, the poor you will always have with you, and we need to be mindful of those who are in need. But I wouldn't be doing my job here behind this pulpit if I didn't also point out to you that, friends, there are things greater than physical food, greater than house and home. There are gifts that God gives you that transcend even that. Beyond all of this, remember who is the bread of life. Christ will call himself the bread of life. Food that never perishes. Food that sustains you unto life everlasting. Food that every sinner needs. Food that which God gives you. Christ is the bread of life. The food that we consume by faith. Faith grabbing hold of his word. Faith grabbing hold of his promises by which Jesus says, "You are my child, you are forgiven, do not be afraid. I have you engraved on the palms of my hands. Fear not, your sins are forgiven." Christ is the bread of life. And we can't hear that phrase and not also think about this meal. This meal, where Jesus says, "That bread, this wine, it is my body and my blood, by which you are forgiven, because of my body given over to death, his blood poured out for the forgiveness of your sins." The food who is Christ the Lord that we consume, Christian, that is the food that nourishes your soul, a food that God freely gives you. And so that gift, the gift of Christ, it is the greatest gift of all, given to you by a God who never, ever, ever, ever fails to have compassion for his people. By a God who promises to give to you, to provide for you, physically, spiritually, from now unto life everlasting. Amen. Now the peace of God, which does surpass all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus from now unto life everlasting. Amen.